Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 47 of the podcast, dude. My name is Aaron Dowd, and I am here to help you make better podcasts and get better at talking and telling your story and being a podcaster. Or, I don't know. I kind of think that, like, telling your story through video is also a thing that I'm getting interested in. Anyways, but this show is about podcasting. I hope the advice is applicable to you regardless of what you're doing. So today I'm talking about hardware mixers versus audio interfaces. And the idea for this show came about because someone sent me an email and they asked, hey, you know, what's the difference between a hardware mixer, a physical mixing board, and one of those interfaces like the big one that you've got? Is one of them better? And also, why do you do your processing, like your EQ and your compression? Why do you like to do that in your computer, you know, in your digital audio workstation instead of like on a piece of outboard gear or like on a mixing board? And I thought this was a very interesting question, and I had an email conversation with this person about it. So, but that's kind of what I want to talk about today. I know maybe some of you who are new to this get confused when I say things like, you know, mixers and audio interfaces and preamps and all this kind of stuff. So I just wanted to explain the basics of that and then tell you how I do it and hopefully give you some ideas about maybe the kind of setup that you want to have. So again, my name is Aaron Dowd. This is episode 47 of the podcast. Dude, we're almost to 50. Holy crap. I can't believe it. It's going to be 100 before we know it. All right, let's get into the show. Okay, so I guess we should talk about the difference up front, just so we understand what we're talking about here. Title of the episode, Hardware Mixer versus Audio Interface. So a hardware mixer is a piece of hardware, physical hardware, like a big board. You've seen these a lot of times if you've ever been to a concert or maybe to a church. You see a bunch of cables plugged into these, and they're a big board with a bunch of knobs and faders. And they take up they're small ones, but generally you see big ones that are a couple feet wide, a couple feet tall. So what this does is the hardware mixing board takes inputs and sums them to a stereo track. So you take cables from all these different microphones, all these different sources. They go into this board. You can adjust the volume. You can do things like EQ and add reverb, things that you normally have to do in post-production if you're like me recording a podcast. Anyways, you take all these inputs, then the mixing board mixes them, sums them, combines them into a single stereo output. So you got a left channel and a right channel, and then that gets sent out to the audience, which, like, if you're at a concert, then that's what you will hear coming out of the speakers if you're standing in the audience. If you're at a church, same deal. That's what you will hear coming out of the speakers, is that two-channel summed audio track. Stereo track. So that's the basics of a hardware board. Now, an audio interface is not too different, except that it is specifically made to plug into a computer, and it has inputs and outputs as well, but it really kind of lets your computer do the work, or lets you do the mixing inside of the computer. So my audio interface, for example, is about a foot and a half wide, maybe, I think 18 inches wide. It's only about maybe an inch or two tall, and it's just got a bunch of inputs for microphone cables, bunch of line ins, and then it's got some outputs, and then it's got a bunch of knobs, but it doesn't have faders, and it doesn't have any physical controls for things like EQ or reverb or sends or anything like that. Basically, there's just an input gain knob for each of the input lines, each of the input channels. So all the mixing, all the post-production work happens inside of my computer, inside of the digital audio workstation, the program, which in my case is Logic Pro X, but it could also be Ableton or GarageBand or Reaper. It's another very common one. So if you want to buy a hardware mixer, and I don't think this is as likely these days, I think hardware mixers are a holdover from the days where most of the time you were just taking a bunch of audio sources and then wanting to mix them down to a single stereo track and then playing that back somewhere. And these days, if you're going to get your file on your computer and do the editing in the computer, then you need some way to get that audio into your computer. And a USB audio interface, a USB interface or a FireWire interface or a Thunderbolt interface is still the easiest way to do that. So one of the questions that came up was, why don't you do the mixing stuff? Why don't you just buy a mixer or buy some gear and do that mixing stuff up front? Well, the answer is because I kind of like the freedom of being able to make changes afterwards. Like, I want to record an audio track just at a decent volume, at a decent gain level, clean as it sounds, and then be able to do things like EQ and noise removal and compression later. I like to be able to tweak the settings. And that can kind of be a downside, and a lot of musicians know what I'm talking about here, because there's the temptation, you have the ability to just tweak stuff endlessly. Like, you can always be moving the volume up just a little bit or down just a little bit, and you're like, well, if I added a little bit more treble or brightness, will it sound better? And then you try it and you're like, no, that didn't work. And then you pull it back down and then you're like, well, what about adding this other thing? You know, you can work on these files for almost forever. And it, like, at a certain point, it doesn't matter. Like, you can try to get from 90% good to 100%, and you can spend days on that. And most people don't care. Your audience doesn't care. They're like, can I hear what you're saying? Does it sound okay? Good. That's all I care about. Give me the content. I've got stuff to do. So there is that downside. There's a temptation to tweak endlessly. But yeah, I used to have a processing unit like a lot of my friends that do podcasts have, the DBX-286, which, if I remember correctly, has, hang on, what does it have? Got like a compressor, a de-esser, a limiter, and yeah, I don't use it anymore. I know a lot of my friends still do, but I don't. I run the microphone I have into a preamp to provide a little bit of additional gain, because I have the Shure SM7B. It's gain hungry. And then I run that a line out from that preamp into the interface. And then the interface goes straight in my computer, and I do the mixing in Logic. So, you know, it's like, well, couldn't you save some time by setting up your DBX and like having it do all the compression settings and limiting and stuff? And yeah, maybe a little bit, but it doesn't take me that long to do it in Logic now. And I've got templates set up, and I feel like there's benefits to simplicity, to not having a bunch of gear. You know, fewer parts in your signal chain means fewer things that can go wrong. You know, if you have 15 different devices plugged in and something's not working, it can be kind of hard to tell what's not working right away. Ideally, well, you know what I would really, really love would be a great USB microphone. If I could get a USB microphone that sounded as good as a Shure SM7B, and I could just plug that straight into my computer or iOS device even and record into that, I would love that. I would love to get rid of this interface. I would love to be able to do everything in the box, which is a term audio engineers use to describe doing all the work on your computer, all the mixing and all that kind of stuff. But we're not quite there yet, and I do really love the quality I get with the Shure SM7B mic. And so, you know, I need an actual interface for that. I can't run a USB mic. I haven't found one that sounds as good. So, but I'd love to. I'd love the idea of just having a very, very simple setup. Less stuff for me is the better. But that raises the question, okay, what about live streaming with multiple guests, multiple co-hosts? You know, what if everybody is in different places and you need like, or what if you got four people in the same place? Well, that's an easier thing. Most USB audio interfaces, like the Focusrite Scarlett interfaces I recommend, you can buy them with more than like two or four. You have different options for how many inputs you want, right? So if you have four people in a room, you need at least four inputs. So you can plug, you can have a microphone for each person. And then you might also need an additional input so you can have a soundboard, like the fantastic Soundboard Studio app that you can get for iOS that our community member Joe Allen made. Fantastic app. You get a little cable that runs out from your iPhone and into your interface, and boom, you've got a soundboard. Pretty sweet. Well, then you would need five inputs. So you got to buy an audio interface that has at least six, because most of the time they come in pairs. I'm not sure why. It's like you usually see two, four, six, eight. Yeah, I don't know why that is. Even, whatever. So, anyways, what was I saying? Okay, yeah. So, but software is getting more and more powerful. So I think that having that audio hardware is becoming less necessary. Like right now, if I want to stream a guest in a remote location live to my audience, to the Sean West community, I have to have a, well, I don't have to have, because there's a new program called Loopback from Rogue Amoeba that kind of simulates the setup that I have. But I do what's called a mix minus, which means that I have a Mac Pro, sorry, not a Mac Pro, I wish. I have a Mac Mini on my desk, and I have a line running out from that Mac Mini into an input on my audio interface. And then I have a line from the audio interface running out into the input in the Mac Mini. And then I mute the guest's voice out of that. I have like a little mixing board. This is so hard to describe in audio form. Basically, I have to have another computer so I can record an individual track. I run Skype on the Mac Mini, I record that, and then I stream that out to my audience. Well, now there's a software, there's an app for the Mac called Loopback, which basically simulates that without me needing to have the Mac Mini here and the interface and all that. But like happens with software sometimes, I ran into some issues. I ran into some audio problems. So I don't know. It was inconsistent enough and enough of a problem that I abandoned that for now and went back to the hardware solution. But I think in the future, it's going to become more reliable. Maybe they'll work out some of the bugs. Maybe I should work out some of the bugs in my setup. I don't know. And hopefully all this extra hardware will become irrelevant in the future. Okay, and also I was going to say, if you have multiple people in multiple locations, there are streaming services now, streaming apps, web apps, like blab.im. I was trying to remember this the other day. I know a lot of podcasters who use this, where basically you can get a bunch of people from different locations to log in. And it's kind of like Google Hangouts in that you can stream it live publicly. There's a little chat system. You can invite people to join. I'm not sure, but okay, I can't say for sure if they record an audio file in browser and then give it to you, but either way, you could very easily log in, set up, and then just like start QuickTime or GarageBand file recording on your computer and then have everyone put together an audio file later. And then there's another web app called Zencastr. That's Zencastr, but no E. So it's like Zencastr.com, Zencastr.com. And this works similarly, and you have a bunch of different people log in, and it'll actually record local audio files inside the browser using some kind of crazy internet technology. It's not important, but you get individual tracks for each guest, anyone who logs into the service. And I think it's free for now, and it'll eventually be $10 a month, and it only works on Chrome and Firefox browsers. But this is really, really fantastic, because this basically eliminates the need to have a bunch of different computers set up running Skype and then like having having wires go from here to there and everywhere. Much, much simpler. And this kind of technology is only going to get better. So if you're not super familiar with audio gear at this point, I'd say you don't need to have a physical hardware mixer. And if you just like the idea of having some like faders that you can move up and down when you're mixing, or like little knobs that you can turn, they make little USB control services that kind of mimic the feel. I actually have one in front of me because I thought I would use it. It's called a Korg Nano Control 2, and it's just got 8 faders, some solo mute buttons, and then like a pan control and play and stop buttons and all that stuff. And yeah, I never use it because it's like I learned keyboard shortcuts on my computer. So, but there's control services, especially if you're mixing music. I know a lot of people who mix music like to have all those different little faders for the tracks that they can move around. So, Jeremiah, what's the name of that interface app again? If you're talking about the one I mentioned earlier where I do the mix minus thing, it is Scarlett's Mix Control. You can download that. It works with any Scarlett interface. Yeah, and then Loopback is the one that allows you to kind of create it like lets you send inputs and outputs from various apps to various apps. It's kind of complicated and hard to understand, and I said I was going to make a tutorial. I never got around to it, but I had some problems with it. I think it was something to do with the USB 3.0 cable that I had running from the interface to the And who knows? Software is great when it works, and when it doesn't, it's like, what do you do? Like, you have no control. You don't know what's going on. Oh, the soundboard app. Okay, so yeah, Jeremiah, that is Soundboard Studio, and you can find that in the iOS store. So yeah, I heard Joe Allen, he's in hanging out in here right now. He did that super great. I wonder if there's a link in his portfolio. It's there. Soundboard Studio. Click on his picture in the sidebar. You can see it. Oh, there you go. Boom. Okay. All right. One other thing I wanted to bring up. I mentioned this earlier, but it's really, really important. I think if you're like, I don't want to spend a lot of time on post-production, I just want to set up my settings and go every week. Well, it might be worth investing in a professional digital audio workstation like Audition or Logic Pro X or Logic Pro X 10, whatever, or Reaper, or what's the other one? There's one that I'm thinking of. Ableton. Anyways, any professional editing software, because most of these allow you to set defaults and like save templates for channel strips, so for people's voices or for entire projects. And that can be a really, really huge time saver. It's just, you know, you record a track with your microphone and your voice, and you go in, and you can do this anywhere, anytime. You go in and just like pop your template for that, for your track, and it's got all your plugins set up and configured. Boom, super easy. And yeah, I think in the end, it's going to come down to what your needs are. If you want to be minimalist, if you don't want to have a bunch of stuff in your office, if you're the kind of person that enjoys having physical hardware things to play with and to look at, that's totally fine. Like, enjoy it, have fun with it. Part of my plans in the future involve traveling, so I'm trying to be like, have as few things as possible. So, but that's just me. And there's a lot more we could talk about as far as like various setups, like what if you're doing video. I don't want to get into that. I want to keep this kind of short. So I hope this was helpful for you. If you have any thoughts, if you have any feedback, or if you have any more questions, if I forgot anything, just shoot me an email. It's Aaron@thepodcastdude.com. If you have any questions about interfaces I recommend or microphones or any of that kind of gear stuff, I put all that in an episode, I believe it was thepodcastdude.com/32. It was titled Podcasting on a Budget, but I really talked about everything that I use and recommend in gear. Just trying to keep it like, okay, I understand that not everybody wants to spend $500 on this stuff, but some people want to invest, you know, the money it takes to sound good. So podcastdude.com/32 if you want to check out some gear. Yep. And Aaron@thepodcastdude, if you got questions, if you could head over to thepodcastdude.com/iTunes, leave me an iTunes review. And I have to say, I've gotten a couple in the past week, and that's super, super awesome. I'm very, very thankful. I just want to read one real quick from Anthony Grimes. He said, title is, "So You Want a Podcast?" 5 stars. Thank you. He said, "Aaron dives deep on podcasting from every angle. It is simply amazing the topics Aaron discusses. They're not always technically minded, which a lot of podcasts about podcasting are. Aaron provides a real start to finish approach, and the value is overflowing from each episode. This podcast even has things for those who may not yet want or have a podcast. The practical tips can be used in a broad range of situations, and Aaron inspires confidence in his authority on each subject. It all starts with writing, such a classic." Yeah, it all starts with writing was actually, first off, thank you, Anthony, I appreciate it. "It all starts with writing" was actually Sean McCabe. You should check out the Sean West podcast. Super fantastic. Love that dude. Yeah, you know, I don't always feel confident about each topic that I talk about, but what I always try to do is learn enough to share something valuable, or just try to help somebody just a little bit. And if I can do that, then I've succeeded. And, you know, based on the review, I guess it worked for you, man. So that's great. Thank you. Yeah. Thepodcastdude.com/iTunes. I really appreciate it. Helps other people find the show. Makes me happy. It's just good. It's good to share positive vibes, you know. If you want to support the show, if you like the show, you can head over to the podcast dude. Wait, nope. You can head over to seanwest.com/community and hang out with all my awesome friends inside of that. It is a community is a place where a bunch of people get together around shared values and goals, and we talk and hang out in a live chat app that we have. It's 24/7. We stream shows, the Sean West Network stream shows It's not 7 days a week. It's actually 5 days a week. But 5 days a week, every day. It's just a great place, just encouraging people, great conversations. It helps support the show. So if you've been digging the show, just go check it out. Go poke around, SeanWest.com/community. I think you might like it. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at the podcast dude. I'm on Snapchat, Aaron CWA. I've kind of been under the weather, so as soon as I get out from this under this cold, then I'm going to get back to posting regular snaps because that's super fun. All right. I think that's going to do it for the show today, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out. And short one today. I didn't cough. Whew. Okay, no questions for the after show. But Jeremiah said in the chat, I'm recording my first podcast this week. Super excited and terrified at the same time. And I know you didn't ask for any feedback, man, but I'm going to give you a little pep talk. Because I remember it wasn't that long ago that I was in your same spot. It was just like, oh my gosh, this is exciting. This is fun. Like I'm stoked to get this thing going, get this podcast going. But at the same time, it's like, there's so many things to learn and there's so many things to worry about going wrong. And so, yeah, I'll just off the top of my head, I will give you a couple thoughts that I have. First off, and everyone always says it, but go a little bit easy on yourself. You just remember that you're not going to get everything perfect the first time and it's okay. What's really important is to show up, push through, say what you want to say, and then ship it. And then just iterate on the process every single week. Because you'll get a little bit better every time. You're going to make some mistakes. you're going to do some things and listen back or look back later and be like, oh, why did I do that? And that's totally okay. It's better to have a record of like what you were doing, what you were thinking at the time, than to not have it, you know, even if there's some imperfections there. I'm really happy for every podcast episode I've ever recorded, ever, even if it's not this the greatest, even if I used a lot of filler words or my sound quality wasn't quite right, I'm still really, really happy that I sat down and recorded some thoughts, because I can go back and hear that and just see the difference and just remember, you know, and then other people can see that too. So it's not going to be wasted time, even if you don't get it perfect. Keep working at it. Focus on delivering some kind of value. Don't feel the need to stretch it out too much. You can go short. I think that was one of the mistakes. That was one of the mistakes that I made in the first, I don't know how many episodes it was, but it was like, okay, I got to spend 10 hours a week writing an outline, and it's got to be like 3,000-4,000 words, because I don't know. Maybe I feel like I was competing with some other people. It's like, I want to do a 45-minute show that's just like jam-packed full of value. And just like, boom, 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 boom. But over time, I realized that people are fine as long as I just showed up and I was entertaining and I gave them something valuable and I said hi and I was friendly. You know, so don't set the expectations too high. Kyle Adams said, I can confirm both making mistakes and getting better over time. I never go back to episode one of Behind the Brand, which is the show that Kyle Adams and Corey Miller, who was on last week, that's the show they do, Behind the Brand. So go listen to, here's the funny thing, go listen to Behind the Brand, episode one. That show, they had so many technical difficulties. They had so many... just like And it's like awkward stops and pauses isn't quite the right word, but there were, I think Kyle's Skype call was dropped a bunch of times, and then like they forgot what they talked about, so they tried to dive back into the conversation. Now Kyle wants me to cut this part out. So I ended up having to do a lot of cutting and editing together, and it turned out I don't think 98% of people will notice it, but they remember that process of going through it, and it's basically like they tried to bake like 20 cakes before they finally got one that would hold together. And then whenever they got the I'm using a baking analogy now, whenever they got that single cake, they're like, look, everybody, here's the cake. And everyone's like, cool, that's good. And they just remember like all the failures. but they've improved over the past, 28 episodes now. And like now you wouldn't even know that. Now they just sound like calm, confident, professional podcasters. So it takes time. It happens. You'll find and you'll develop your voice and your way of communicating and your way of sharing and that kind of unique, like the thing about you that makes you. It might not be obvious to either you or your listeners at first, but over time you get more comfortable with yourself, and then your personality starts shining through. And I think that's what people connect with, as long as you're keeping your audience in mind and making sure to be respectful of their time and all that. So there's so much more I could say on the topic of starting a podcast, but that's why I made this podcast. So I'm sure if you listen to the backlog, you'll be in great shape. More exciting stuff to come in the future, man. But yeah, Jeremiah, if you got any questions, send them my way, dude, because I would love to answer them if I haven't yet. And that goes for everybody. So next week, I can't say that because they're not going to be here next week. Sabbatical coming up. God, man. Sabbaticals are super weird because it's like when this goes live, last week was a sabbatical. But as of right now, next week is a sabbatical. So how do you explain that? You don't. Okay, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. If you got any questions, send me an email. Aaron@thepodcastdude.com. Have a great week. Go get lots of work done. Go be nice to somebody else, because it's good for the world. It's also good for you. Makes you happy. Stay positive. I'll talk to y'all later.